You've got to shoot this bit, Margaret. You've got to shoot it.
Have a good skiing and be safe.
Have a good skiing?
Did you say that?
I think I did.
You promised never to mention my crystal balls, Rob. Do not text me. I do not want to know. Skis, boots, jackets.
24 million euros.
Pants. Backpacks, goggles.
Wild, hairy and consistently steep.
Helmets, poles.
It's snowing right now.
You live the high life, don't you, Rob? So, listeners, Happy New Year. Welcome to the White Owl Podcast, our 12th edition of the season. And I'm Dom Killinger, I'm publisher in the Snow, and I'm joined by my co-host, the one and only... Rob Stewart.
Yeah, I'm good, Dom. You're the one and only. Chesney Hawks.
Yeah.
I actually went to school with him.
No way.
So maybe that's... Yeah. Maybe that's where he got the idea of the title from then.
You could have joined his band, Rob.
I did jam with him once or twice in the school music room.
Come on, in the music room when you were 12. Maybe it's time we got some of your celebrity friends on the podcast, Rob. I mean, you must know a few people, I'm sure. You know what you're like.
Yeah, I suppose so. And some of them have got some interesting stories to tell, but do they have interesting skiing stories, Dom? That is the question.
Probably not as interesting as yours, I'm sure.
Yeah, maybe not. But the point is, they are celebrities and therefore, obviously, incredibly interesting people.
Of course. Right? Yeah, of course they will be. Well, let's get a few celebs on before the end of the season. Maybe let's get Chesney Hawks on. Why not? Let's start with him.
Yeah, why not?
If he skis.
I'm sure he's a skier.
Is he?
Chesney, if you are listening from your... Malibu, or wherever it is, home, do give us a call. Even better, put your sister Keely forward. I once danced with her at the school disco. Yeah. Highlight of my life up to that point at the age of 16.
I can imagine, but she's not a celebrity, Rob.
Well, who cares?
Right. Well, down to business enough of your name dropping, Rob. We've got a big special episode on this week. Plenty for our listeners to hear this week, as it's our New Year episode and first time back after 2023.
Yes, Dom. We have our usual news roundup, weather and some gear to discuss. But this podcast is going to take a look back at some of the highlights of 2023 and also look forward to 2024 to see what might be in store for us in the world of snow sports.
Fantastic. And time to mention today's sponsor, Ski Independence and Canada's Alberta. The team at Ski Independence have been sending customers to Alberta ski resorts for almost 30 years. With oodles of personal experience, they know all about the best places to stay, the best travel options, and everything in between. From Banff's best après-ski locations to breathtaking scenery at Lake Louise, or how to get the best out of a multi-centre itinerary, the highly recommended road tripping up the spectacular ice-filled parkways between Lake Louise and Jasper for an experience like no other. So, to experience some of those fantastic trips, visit ski-i.com/Alberta, also in the notes of the podcast, and to find out more about booking Canada's Alberta with tailor-made specialists, Ski Independence. They're our sponsors today. Rob, what do you think?
Oh, I think that sounds fantastic. Banff is definitely on my list. That is for sure. Yes. Driven through the place, never stopped off there.
Criminal.
Next time.
Criminal.
Yes, criminal. It is criminal.
So let's get started with the news this week then, Rob. What have we got on the news for this week?
First off, I'm going to talk about our friends at Snow Camp and the AJ Bell Three Valleys Rally that takes place in Val Thorens.
Oh, yeah.
On April the 13th to the 16th this year. So, you know, Snow Camp, the charity that helps to turn young lives around, are gearing up for their charity event in Val Thorens, as I said, at the end of the season. And they still have places available for six teams. Okay. They already have 14 teams signed up. Yeah, fantastic. Each team consists of four people. And the idea is to raise money and then compete in a series of challenges across the mountain, including biathlon and slalom skiing, lots of other things as well.
Cool.
They always draw some really big names too. I know Graham Bell is going to be there.
Yeah,
I mean, he's not competitive, right? and I also have heard that Jenny Jones is now signed up as well.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, they set up like five-star hotel for the accommodation side. It's a great way for skiers to have fun, sort of give something back too. Snow Camp have been running the challenge for several years, but Val Thorens is relatively new. Obviously, a great location for that time of the season as well.
Yeah, yeah.
We caught up with Dan Keeley from Snow Camp this week, and he said this to us. Six snow sports challenges, five-star accommodation, four team members, three snow sports celebs. two non-stop days over one long weekend at the end of the season. What's not to love? Last year's rally raising the bar, Valtemont laying out the red carpet and the extension of Lemon Weir, the 2024 rally promises to be something special, all to help turn many more young lives around. Hope you can join us. So that's from Dan Keeley. What do you think, Tom?
Sounds fantastic. I'd definitely be up for that. If I'm not in Palisades, Rob, I'm going to be in Valtemont on that, because I think it's a fantastic... I heard about it last year. I know, typical bit of name dropping. I heard about it last year, and I really did have FOMO last year. I really did fancy being there. I can't remember where I was, but I was away as well. So definitely, to get more information on the AJ Bell Rally, look up snow-camp.org.uk for more information. Definitely a great cause. Also, Dave Riding taking bronze. I mean, what a weekend that was. Unbelievable. Can you believe it? Two weeks ago, but you just can't forget.
Well, it was.
I mean, when I saw that pop up on my news feed, I was like, wow, this is incredible again. So yeah, Dave Riding securing his seventh, yes, that's seventh podium place in the FIS Alpine Skiing World Cup, with a third place bronze under the lights in Madonna di Campiglio. Just a few years ago, the thought of a British skier standing on that podium was almost unthinkable. Now we're coming to expect it. Yes, Dave Riding, we're coming to expect it. So yeah, fantastic news. There's also obviously Billy Major and Laurie Taylor pushing for those top 15 places now, which is great. This Sunday, Dave and co are back in action at the Swiss resort of Adelboden, then on to Wengen the following weekend. Even more exciting is the fact that Dave is now ranked number three in the world in slalom racing. Wow. It is quite incredible, isn't it?
It is. It's absolutely fantastic stuff. I mean, I was driving back from Heathrow Airport that night 2 weeks ago, and I managed to stop at Reading Services and get my phone out and watch that on my phone, having a burger.
You live the high life, don't you, Rob?
People were wondering what the heck was going on.
I love it. Well, Eurosport covers all the races, you know, and BBC Ski Sunday will be bringing highlights to the Adelboden and Wengen races too. So very exciting. Come on, Dave Riding. Awesome. I've never been into the ski racing. Now all of a sudden I am.
This Sunday morning and the following Sunday, you know, two big slalom races coming up. So
very cool.
Right. Well, Green Les Arcs, of course. Earlier this year, the French ski resort of Les Arcs became the first ski resort in Europe, and only the second in the world after Taos in New Mexico, to be awarded the internationally recognized B Corporation certificate.
Wow, that's special.
Reducing their carbon footprint has always been a key part of this. The resort's lifts already operate on 100% renewable electricity, but their entire fleet of snow groomers are now powered by biofuel instead of diesel.
Fantastic.
On its own, this has reduced emissions for slope maintenance by 83%, apparently. Another significant way Les Arcs has been able to bring down emissions is via the futuristic funicular that connects Bourg-Saint-Maurice with Arc 1600. The funicular is free for anybody travelling by train, and it's also powered by renewables.
Very cool. I mean, anything like that is just going to put pressure on other resorts, isn't it? And there's going to be that sort of domino effect that as resorts become more and more eco-friendly, if you like, as eco-friendly as they can possibly be, like Les Arcs is showing the way there, it'll put pressure on other resorts to do the same. So that's good news. I just thought we'd do a few short stories, Rob, as well. So Chamonix reported the most snowfall in the world over the first few days of 2024. I absolutely love that. And it's also the first to reach a 4 meter base this season. Epic. What a cool thing to be able to say. That's so clever. I was in Chamonix on New Year's Day and had a very lovely day there. Super cold, really lovely, and spitting with snow pretty much the whole time I was there. So that was nice.
Yeah. Ski chalet above Cervinia, you know, views from the Italian side of the Matterhorn. It's gone on sale, priced at 24 million euros with luxury property agent Savills. It was just a ruin in 2015. Someone's spotted an opportunity there, haven't they?
So they bought a chalet in 2015 as a ruin and turned it into a 24 million pound property. Yep, that sounds
It only cost them 75 million to do the conversion, so quids in.
And good news, tragic accident in Saint-Gervais, leading to two members of the same family dead in an avalanche. A harsh reminder that if you are going off-piste, then please take your responsibilities very seriously. Whatever the situation, ensure you have the right equipment and knowing exactly how to use it before you venture off-piste, whatever anyone says to you. So a very sad story, a very poor start to the new year. Thoughts going out to that family, obviously, but a big reminder to everybody, if you're going off piste, to make sure you are fully prepared.
Absolutely.
So, Rob, on to a more positive story, and that is gear.
Light's gone. I'm going to change these lenses, people.
Next week, we will be going to Slide OTS, which is a trade show where we go up and get our grubby little mitts all over. Brand new skis, boots, jackets, pants, backpacks, goggles, helmets, poles, and everything else that has anything to do with skiing. Yeah, exactly. So we'll be there with friends and colleagues to play with all the new gear and, yeah, get to see everything for the 24-25 winter ski season. What a bit of fun. But all in a shed in Telford. Sounds glamorous. And it is fun when we get there, isn't it, Rob?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, obviously it is inside that large shed, but it's great fun. Cool to get to see all of this kit very, very early on as well. We'll be bringing some of the highlights to you in our next episode.
Absolutely. And keep an eye out on the In the Snow Mag YouTube channel and social profiles, because no doubt we'll be on Instagram, TikTok, and on YouTube shorts with some little previews while we're at the show. So, Rob, this week, in terms of our gear guide, we've got something a little bit different, because one of our listeners, Dan, I won't give his second name, asked us about avalanche backpacks. Now, I don't know about you, Rob. I don't tend to do as much off-piste anymore. Ever since I had children, it's not that I'm scared of it, but actually I just take my responsibility so seriously, I'm doing less and less of it. So you're probably more qualified. But obviously I do tend to get my hands on all this kit, so I thought we'd cover that today.
Yeah, I don't actually own an avalanche airbag myself, and I have worn them in the past. I agree, it's really for skiers and snowboarders that might be free riding in, say, steeper off-piste terrain and ski touring as well.
Yeah.
It's worth pointing out at this point that in Europe, if you're on the marked runs, the chances of getting caught up in an avalanche would be, you know, let's say exceptionally rare.
Yeah.
Exceptionally rare. In North America, again, if you're sort of inbounds in that controlled area and it's open for skiing,
yeah,
it's basically the same situation. Organizations out there that educate off-piste skiers and snowboarders, you know, if you follow those kind of rules when you're skiing off-piste, really follow those rules and apply all of those rules, you know, off-piste skiing doesn't need to be dangerous, but of course it can be exceptionally dangerous if you don't follow those kind of rules.
Well, if you're thinking about an avalanche airbag, let's face it, they're not cheap. There's a few things to consider, such as weight, price is probably out the window, and whether the bag is powered by a gas canister or the more recent innovation of electric versions, Rob.
Yeah, absolutely. Before considering an airbag, if you're heading off piste, it's also worth pointing out that crucially, it's essential to wear a transceiver and a probe and a shovel in your backpack. All of that for another time, but the airbag is then an add-on to that.
Yeah, absolutely right. So we looked at three different airbags that might be best for certain skiers doing certain things. Best for ski touring, best for lift access, free riding, and best for travel. So let's have a look at the best for ski touring, Rob.
Yeah, sure. Just picked out a few, really. I mean, there's lots of airbags out on the market, but if you're looking at day tours, for example, the 25-litre Scoptrol Ultralight is under 2 kilograms. It's perfect. It's £1,100, and you can check that out at scott-sports.com. The slightly larger Autovox airbag, Litric Tour, is a 30-litre pack at £1,250. That's a good bet. Autovox.com. Both of those are electric powered as well.
Fantastic. Good backpacks. I think we saw those last year, and we got our hands on these things. And often, of course, the thing to mention with electric powered backpacks is the fact that you can test them. You can pull the cords and let it explode behind you, and then it gets packed away again, which is...
Yeah,
I guess that gives you that extra peace of mind, doesn't it? So, and what about best for free riding, Rob? What about best for free riding? What are we thinking?
Yeah, again, you could tour with this pack as well. It's just slightly larger. The Mammut Pro 45's got a removable airbag. It costs £650. Obviously, that's 45 litres in size. And it's carbon cartridges on that
one. Okay.
But check that out on mammut.com.
Yeah, okay, they're great for that kit. Mammut, yeah, M-A-M-M-U-T. And then best for traveling, we've got the Deuter Outproof Light 30 pack that comes with loads of tech and a battery that is easy to travel. That's £1,300 from deutergb.co.uk. As you say, the vital thing is to make sure that you do have all the normal equipment you need. And this is kind of the icing on the cake, and it's probably more for that sort of bigger backcountry and steeper powdery terrain. So yeah, it was a good question that came in about backpacks. So it's quite nice to cover that today. And we do have some backpacks covered on the YouTube channel as well. And no doubt we'll probably be looking at some Abbey packs this week when we're at Slide, next week when we're at Slide.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
So there we go. That's it for this week's gear section. Rob, what do you think? You'll be buying yourself an airbag next.
Yeah, I would like an airbag. At the same time, these days, a bit like you, Dom, you know, I'm not skiing off-piste that much. I've had a transceiver probe and shovel with me when I've been skiing off-piste for 30 years now. And fortunately, I've never had to use that transceiver in a real situation.
That's good.
And you know, that prevention is better than cure at the end of the day. It doesn't matter who you are, how experienced you are at skiing off-piste. There's, you know, the mountains that don't care about that. So it's a matter of applying that knowledge. Yeah.
So with that in mind, let's move on to the weather, Rob. So this week's weather is brought to you by Ski Weekends, the flexible ski holiday experts. Choose from 10 fantastic catered chalets and over 100 hotels and over 40 resorts. You can stay as long as you like with SkiWeekends.com. And on that note, Rob, the reason I was delayed coming onto this podcast was because Dan, another Dan from Ski Weekends, was on the phone to me saying, Dom, you've got to make sure you tell people this.
Okay.
I'm in Saint-Gervais at 700 meters. It's snowing right now, he said. I can't believe it. And he also said, snow across France is not only holding up well, but there's a good hard base, and it's been topped up quite a bit with fresh snow in the past week. He said, skiing in the Three Valleys on New Year's Day and New Year's Eve, we've been very lucky to have a foot of snow on New Year's Eve with fantastic off-piste and quiet slopes on New Year's Day. Just fabulous, he said. Conditions across the Three Valleys are excellent from Val Thorens to Courchevel, 1650, even skiing down the legendary Jerusalem to Saint-Martin. So that's good news. He said, we also skied yesterday in Lake Contamine, just up the road from Saint-Gervais. Conditions were just about perfect on piste. We even had blue skies. Off piste, there was a nice topping of 15 centimetres on a firm base. So we definitely had a lot of fun. He went on to tell me this. Obviously, this is a real snow report. The Ski Weekends chalet team in Avoriaz say the skiing is great and have been posting very snowy pictures skiing across Switzerland on Wednesday. In Leger, it snowed down to resort and one of the team called it dreamy. The great news is that there's even more snow due all weekend. Still time for a cheeky short break in January with Ski Weekends.
Ski Week. And just on that point of Leger and Ski Weekends, a quick shout out for them because they've got a new chalet in Leger this season. It's their only chalet, but it's quite a large chalet. And I will be heading to Leger the week after next. And I'm looking forward to skiing all the way back down to the village.
Fantastic. Well, thanks very much, Dan from Ski Weekends, for your live on the snow report. Very cool indeed. So let's get straight into the rest of the world, Rob. Things are really ramping up properly now for the winter across the Alps, North America and Japan. It's looking like we have a decent season out there. Would you agree?
Yeah. I mean, it has been a bit of a shaky start in North America, but things are changing there and fast as well. So, same in Japan too. Yeah. And yes, in Europe, it is a very positive situation right now. And although some areas have suffered warmer temperatures lower down before New Year, the snow at altitude has generally remained in good shape. And with the cold, snowy weather coming in now, any little bits of green will be long forgotten, I think. Do you want to take us away with the situation in Europe, Dom?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I've just returned from Aosta Valley and Chamonix, as I've been bragging about over New Year. And whilst the conditions on piste were already pretty good, it did start to snow heavily on the last couple of days, which was very welcome because it was starting to get a little bit harder packed. But by no means was it icy, but you probably wouldn't be doing a great amount of free ride. If we look at Courmayeur, it was much colder there when we arrived there as well. They were expecting around 40 to 50 centimetres of snow in the next week on top of a decent base. It was much colder there and felt really good. So powder and gourmet food at Courmayeur, what more could you ask for? And also, Rob, I did do the Skyway at Courmayeur. Absolutely blisteringly good. Cool. One of my daughters said the best thing she's ever done. I have to say, Okay. That was brilliant. So I'll be releasing a video on
that Skyway. Yeah, it's amazing.
So that was very good. Similar situation in Chamonix, and our friend Dave Robertson from Action Outdoors posted a nice video from there a few days ago showing fantastic powder conditions, and there's more to come. But in the northern French Alps region, it looks like Avoria is expecting the biggest dumps with up to a meter in the next 7 days. Rob, I don't even want to hear from you. If you're there for that meter of snow, do not text me. I do not want to know.
Well, I am going to be there the week after next, like I said, and the sun is forecast to come out as well.
Wow.
I'm staying in Châtel, and I'm heading across the Port-Soleil area to Leger, right through Avoriaz, and staying in different places during that time. So, yeah, timing not too bad.
Anyway, if we start heading seriously east to Davos in Switzerland, then the picture is basically the same. 60 centimetres expected over the next week. St. Anton in Austria, 50 centimetres, similar in Kitzbühel. So the next week, we'll see lots of snow, followed by a few days of sunshine, followed by more snow. So looking good.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I read a recent report on a website called severe-weather.eu talking about a complete shift in weather patterns, driving colder fronts across North America and Europe. Caused by El Nino and a stratospheric, not catastrophic, warming event across North America that is now pushing away.
Yeah.
That warm weather did impact the Rockies and places such as Whistler suffered because of it. But it's all changed now. And wait for it, drum roll. Whistler is expecting well over a meter of snowfall in the next few days, and it shows no sign of letting up through January. Cold, snowy weather across the American states of Montana, Colorado, and Utah will bring powder conditions to most places over the next week, too.
Yeah, well, I need it to improve because I am heading out to drumroll Whistler in April. Well, hopefully by the end of the season, they will be in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
But I will also be heading out to Revelstoke and Sun Peaks as well.
Nice.
So that's pretty exciting. There. So, yeah, got some cool things to come. So, before we move on to Japan, Rob, it's worth pointing out that Norway has had a stormer of a season so far.
A stormer. Yeah, I like that. yeah, word on the ground there saying things are as good as they get right now in places such as Hafjell, close to Lillehammer, of course. But same across the whole country, Sweden as well.
Yeah.
I should just do a shout out for Georgia too, because our mate Scott Hammond, right, just arrived there and reported powder dumping conditions. Sent me a little video from Gdari, and wow, it does look impressive out there right now.
Oh, I'd love to see that video. You need to send that to me. So Japan also, it's looking really like a classic case of Japan right now, with around a meter of snow forecast for Niseko over the next week and no sign of any let up after that. I also had colleagues in Hakuba over New Year and regularly saw images of dumping snow.
Classic Japan, Dom. Classic Japan. I mean, I don't think it will stop now. And anyone heading there for the sort of end of the month or into Feb, they'll be in for a treat.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, overall, it's looking like best season in years, Rob. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe too early to say for sure, but I can't remember it looking so positive going forward since I think maybe 17, 18, that season, I think, was a good year.
Yeah. Well, lucky we're both going to the French Alps in the next couple of weeks, eh?
Yeah, looking forward to bringing the snow report live from the slopes with you, Dom.
Yeah, indeed. It's been a long time. Very good. So that's our weather roundup for this year, brought to you in association with Ski Weekends. And our next part, Rob, is looking back on 2023 and ahead to 2024. This is a great chance to look back on some of the highlights from the past year, and then we can look forward to what we think is going to be great for 2024.
Yeah, that's right, Dom. And what a year 2023 was. I mean, when you think about it, 2023 was really the first full year, full season, if you like, back to normal after COVID.
Yeah, absolutely. It wasn't all plain sailing.
True. It was a shaky start to that season last year, around the New Year period. It saw some tricky snow conditions across the Alps, got to say.
Yeah.
But I also have to say some of the, let's just say, the national media coverage around this weather event was rather extreme in itself.
Yeah.
I got pulled onto radio stations. I spoke to scores of journalists. Many of them thought there was literally not a flake of snow in the Alps.
I know.
And the truth was, despite it being challenging.
Yeah, I remember it wasn't ideal, but everybody got to ski.
Exactly. Not one person I knew on a ski trip over that time didn't get to ski. Maybe the lower slopes and some resorts were shut, of course.
Yeah.
If you believe some of the reports.
I suppose they love a bit of clickbait, don't they? I mean, let's face it, we do have climate challenges to face. And it's really important to be accurate about what's going on. And, you know, I think that's absolutely vital.
It is vital. Of course, we've got some challenges. And there's no doubt about that. But, you know, I turned up in the French Alps a week after that warm weather and skied powder down to 1,000 metres. It was a short-lived warm spell. It just got a lot of attention.
So let's look back at some of those highlights of 2023 then. I mean, in the news, there was a lot of good stuff. The London Ski Show was back. Reed Hastings, founder of Netflix, becoming the majority shareholder of Powder Mountain in Utah. How cool is that? Yeah. Make a film about that. You were just about to say that.
I was.
What else was there?
Helly Hansen. They did that free ski pass deal again.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Cromontana, of course, being bought by Vail Resorts. Yeah, so much happening. But okay, we are going to take a look back at our own personal experiences, our best trip, our best après experience, and also our favourite bit of kit.
Ah, nice. A bit of indulgence on our side. Why not, Rob? Why not? Let's take people through it. Take it away, Rob. Where was your best trip, your best resort?
Okay. I mean, I had so many great trips last season in the Alps. But for me, last season, it had to be Big Sky in Montana because I got to spend 3 days with the legendary Dan Egan on Lone Mountain Peak, right? Imagine one standalone mountain where the easiest descent is marked double black diamond. and it's got a ton of triple black diamond runs on it as well, which are very, very rare in North America. It's wild. It is hairy. It's consistently steep. You really cannot relax for a second.
I thought you were describing yourself then, Rob. Wild, hairy, and consistently steep.
Yes. Not that steep, but not that consistent, actually. But anyway, yeah, I mean, it was an exciting 3 days, and I was even finding those sort of 45-degree angles fun in the end, kind of.
Crikey Moses.
Yeah, great place, proper bucket list destination for me, so box tick there. Worth saying, there's a lot of really cruisy skiing in Big Sky too. It's not just about Lone Mountain. It's a great village to stay in. So what about you, Dom?
Very good. Well, maybe a different beast. I think my highlight was probably the Colorado trip, albeit Ski Big 3 Banff Lake Louise was a very close second. Yeah, we headed out to Colorado. As we reported on before, we had a constant delivery of fresh powder daily in Beaver Creek, Vail, Breckenridge. And each resort we went to, we said, well, this has to be our favorite resort until we arrived at the next one. And then it was, well, of course, this is going to be our favorite resort. And it just kept on coming. So it meant skiing through the gladed trees in deep powder conditions was truly memorable. It was just a fantastic 10 days of skiing, coming literally within 6 feet face to face of a moose in the high street of Breckenridge. I mean, that is just amazing. I look back on the videos and I can barely believe it myself. That was probably my highlight trip of the year. I do have to mention, though, I did also on another trip, the Banff Lake Louise one, I did a snowmobile safari in Golden. And often these things, you find yourself, it's a little bit manufactured where you're kind of racing around a track and after 5 minutes, you're kind of bored of riding a snowmobile. But this was a really exceptional safari in Golden where you felt like you were sort of trekking off into the middle of a deep, steep forest through heavily powder-ridden trees. We were obviously super lucky with the weather as well. The views were breathtaking. That was an absolute highlight for me.
That sounds great. We should do a swap, Dom, because last season, I'm just going to add this in there now just because I have to, because you've just mentioned this and I'm just going to add this in. You're going to edit this. You're going to cut this later, aren't you? Because last winter, I went 50 miles in and 50 miles out into Yellowstone National Park on a snowmobile. It was a whole day of snowmobiling in Yellowstone National Park.
Incredible.
I'd say I'd put it up there in the top three easily of day travel experiences of my life. I mean, it was absolutely epic. You know, the animals we saw, even in winter, you know, the bison, huge amounts of bison, wildcat. We saw wildcat. We saw bald eagle. And we saw coyotes.
Wow.
And just the thermal. You're inside a volcano, right? What you suddenly realize is, you know, you're inside a volcano, but then you suddenly realize I'm inside a volcano. And you really can see that, just the thermal activity everywhere. And it's just this huge super volcano that you're inside for the whole day. And we had about 2 meters of snow. It was just it was just like mind-blowing stuff. Wow. That was mind-blowing.
That is spectacular. Well, Rob, I mean, that's, you know, that's very dreamy stuff. Absolutely incredible. What about apres? I mean, you know, you're an authority when it comes to apres, Rob.
What is French for apres ski?
You're either dancing on a table in your boots or you're playing the drums or the harmonica. Which one was it?
Well, I was just listening to music on this particular apres experience that I'm going to mention last year. It's a bit different. I suppose I have done my fair share over the years, but, you know, it's normally about the people, isn't it? The timing and the moment. It's not always about sort of the big name places, but in the end of March last year, I ended up in Interlaken in Switzerland. And then we went up to Grindelwald for the Snopenair Outdoor Music Festival. It's a chance to kind of soak in some spring sunshine whilst partying to some, I'm going to say, actually, pretty cool Swiss rock music. I was pleasantly surprised.
Sounds good.
Yeah, except instead of sun, we had a lot of snow. Just dumped it. And I don't know how the musicians got through it. I mean, I just don't think I could have played drums in minus 10 and driving snow, but they seemed to pull it off. We had a lot of fun, actually. We were luckily in the VIP area, lots of like warm wine and fantastic dinner afterwards on the top of Mannequin. And then down to the new terminal building, blah, 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 blah. Lots of DJs, you know, party. And we even made it to my favorite little Swiss craft beer bar in Interlaken, the Hussee Beer House, for a late night IPA. So it was a good night.
Couldn't write that in a book, Dob. Rob? Rob, you need
what about
to...
you, Dom? Come on. What about you? What was your...
Totally agree. It's not always about the big names. And yours sounds extremely glamorous. Mine was actually over New Year 23-24, which was a fantastic big firework display outside our apartment window in Teen when we stayed in a new apartment, sort of hotel apartment block called YNYCIO, Yincio. And then Cocoricho, obviously. So it is probably one of the bigger names, but it was absolutely banging, a lot of fun. But earlier on, the actual apres part was we skied off the mountain and we said, look, before we go back and get ready for New Year, let's just go and get a glass of wine. And we just went into a fabulous little wine bar. We stood outside. We had a little bit of impromptu pizza, which we weren't expecting to have. Flames gathering around the table. There was some great music playing. It was just one of those environments where you were with the right people, the right time, some snow fluttering down. It was New Year's Eve. Nice. It just felt absolutely fantastic.
You know what? New Year's Eve can often be a bit of an anticlimax, can't it? But actually, in the Alps, it very rarely is.
I wouldn't know what to do if I was in the UK now. I always go somewhere. And like I said, we went to Aosta and Pila this year, and great snow conditions. And Aosta puts on a big firework display, and it's a proper town. So there's loads going on, loads of people. So yeah, really, really good. What about gear?
Yeah. Best bit of kit. So much gear. So much time to try it out.
Yeah.
Fortunately for us. But, you know, it makes this one a tricky challenge to sort of pick out something in particular. But I'm going to go for the Armada Declivity 102 TI skis, a free ride ski that I've used a few times.
Okay.
And I got my hands on for the Big Sky trip. And I really enjoy these skis. They're great on and off piste, super smooth, so well balanced. I mean, the whole declivity range actually is I find very, very easy to ski on and so well balanced. And what I mean by that is that some skis tend to either sort of understeer or oversteer, some of them, but not the declivities. They just seem to have all that sort of perfect balance between ease of turn, edge grip and stability.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Wouldn't mind trying that out, actually. I think there's a couple of things for me, for my favorite bit of kit for this last year. I've been using a Sweet Protection helmet for about 10 years, and I actually got myself a new helmet. So it's the new Sweet Protection helmet, which is the Igniter. It's £230, two-layer MIPS, Fidlock magnetic buckle. I'm not 100% into that buckle yet. When it works, it's amazing. And I think it's just my fiddly hands not knowing what I'm doing. But yeah, when it works, it's absolutely brilliant. Audio dropping compatible. I don't use audio when I'm skiing because I'm deaf in one ear, but I have tried it and it is very good. OxyGrip turn dial fit, so it's a bit like the Boa fit at the back, but that was super smooth and glossy, felt really good. So I was really impressed with the fit and the comfort. Variable elasticity shell, just a really nice quality bit of kit. It's not one of those sort of fluffy, what I would call a fluffy cruisy helmet. You know, some manufacturers make these ones that are kind of a bit almost like fur lined It's not like that. It's a proper, sturdy, nice bit of kit. So I'm really happy with that. But I have to say, if I'm allowed a second piece, I know I'm not supposed to have a second piece, but the Heli Elevation ski gear, Debs was wearing it on the shell and insulation layer in Aosta. And I have to say, I was super impressed with it. She also went out and tested it out in Whistler just pre-Christmas in conditions when it was pretty cold out there. I have to say, everything about that gear, the cut, the shape, the look, the quality, the materials, it does look and function really, really nicely. So I am going to secretly try and get hold of myself a bit of Heli gear to try on it, because my ski outfit is getting pretty old and I noticed the hole coming in it the other day as well. So yeah, Heli, one of those top brands, really impressed this time. And of course, they've got the ski free deal as well. So that's really nice icing on the cake too.
Sounds good, Dom. Yeah, good bits of kit that. So let's look ahead now to 2024 and this winter, shall we?
Yeah.
So Dom, with your crystal ball, because I know you have one, what do you think is in store for this year, and what are your plans?
You promised never to mention my crystal balls, Rob. Actually, I don't have a crystal ball.
Two of them.
What I do have is a ski magazine and a lot of people telling me what's going on. So what am I thinking for 2024? I would think it probably is going to be a historically good snow season, long, cold and deep, just like I like my beers, Rob.
Like that, so, yeah. I don't. I like my beers more.
One of those
dark, dark, warm and not shallow. Definitely not.
I think we'll see a great continued development in the eco credentials of skiing, both in resort and gear, maybe not specifically in 2024, but into the longer term future. I think it's probably a year for a new pair of skis. You've just tempted me into the declivity. So I've got my Black Crows Camox at the moment, and I've been skiing on those for quite a number of years. Yeah, they are great skis. They are looking a bit battered, and I've got a chunk out the sidewall. I don't know how that's happened.
Okay. Love the Black Crows, though. Love the Black Crows.
Yeah, very much. So could be a year for another pair of skis. And I'd like to think that in 2024, more people are being more conscious in the way that they travel. I'm not suggesting that people don't fly, but being more conscious about the way they get to resorts, maybe considering driving. I drive down by electric car to most European resorts. It's very, very easy now, not just if you've got a Tesla, but all electric cars. And I notice more and more, I've been doing this for about a decade now, which is probably longer than anybody I know, driving down to resort in electric cars. And it is incredibly easy. These cars charge incredibly quickly. You should be taking those rests while you're driving down these long distances anyway. And it's a very effective way of travel, but also train travel as well. So it is just thinking that in 2024, people won't just automatically book a short hot flight, but maybe more think about the way they're traveling to resort. My final prediction, Rob, is that I will be in Laclusa in 2 weeks' time. In four or five or 6 weeks' time, I'll be in Revelstoke and Sun Peaks. And at the end of the season, I predict I'll be in Whistler. Very aware that people will criticize me saying that doesn't fit with my eco credentials, but tourism is absolutely vital to these areas. And I am already planning travel into those resorts and how to get from airports to the resorts by train. So it's definitely on my radar, and hopefully it's on other people's too. I don't want to sound like a complete tree hugger, but just want to impress some of my colleagues.
Yeah, you know, I do echo all of that. I must admit, I feel the need to travel in a more eco-friendly way. And right now, it's not always the case. You know, last winter, I took the train to the Alps. This season, I don't currently have that sort of option booked. But yeah, I will make a conscious effort to look into that and to try and look for those alternative ways of traveling when I can.
Yeah.
I see a growth in winter holidays that don't necessarily involve skiing as well, or perhaps, you know, involve skiing alongside other activities. I think it's not new, but resorts and operators are really improving their offerings to cater for a wide demographic of people in ski resorts. So, you know, going for a winter holiday where you don't necessarily have to get on skis. I'm going to mention, I'd love to see some more action. Just going to say SBIT, Seasonal Business and Travel, have done a fantastic job of lobbying for changes post-Brexit for seasonal workers in the Alps.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's quite sad for me to hear so many stories coming out of Europe about the challenges in this area post-Brexit. It's still very hard at the moment for young Brits to get certain types of work in the EU and Switzerland. I mean, you know, becoming a ski instructor, so challenging right now. And despite what some people might think, it was possible for British skiers a few years ago. Yeah. Obviously take the qualifications, and there are other countries that will take you, like Japan, but it's a long way away, isn't it? And, and it's a crazy situation. I mean, it's such actually insane. It's insane. So we want to see some more action on that, and good on Esbit for doing that, their job there. On a more positive note, I'll be visiting Châtel very soon. Leger, La Clusaz with you, Dom. Back to Avoriaz. Just going to name drop with former rugby star Mike Tyndall, who is running a charity event this winter in Saubat, but we're going to brush his ski technique up in Avoriaz. I'll be in Crans-Montana beginning of February. Just so looking forward to that. Carinthia in southern Austria, which is not a first for me, but I haven't been for many years. Pop into Saubat for that event, and then playing on Tien in April. Grindelwald, I think Snowplanair back for that. Après Snowplanair, and Simply Red are playing.
No way, Simply Red. Yes. Oh, I love it.
I know. Looking forward to that. If they're listening to this, I'm always up for playing. You know, money's too tight to mention on the drums.
I would fly to come and see that, Rob. Definitely.
Would you? I don't know if anybody else would. But anyway, and hopefully you're going to head to... I'm thinking about heading to Norway with my daughter in Feb. And then maybe that snow camp rally, Dom. But the diary's getting tight.
Perfect. Well, that's a great prediction for 2024, Rob. So much happening. Such a good year, 2023. And we have got loads coming on the podcast as well. We've got a special edition of the podcast next week on Les Sept Lieux, a place where people may not be top of their priority or their radar at the moment. But we're about to change that. We also have a competition coming from our friends at Ski Weekends. And keep an eye out for our 24 resorts in 24. If you want to see 24 different resorts in France, Italy, Austria, and Switzerland. So well worth keeping a lookout for that on our social channels and on YouTube. Rob, thanks for a great year of podcasting. A statistic that I recently received from Spotify and Apple, as well as our podcast hosts, we're in the top 25% of podcasts globally when ranked according to how many downloads we get within 7 days of a launch of a podcast. How cool is that? Cool. We've been listened to, are you ready for this? 74 countries. Yep, 74 countries we've been listened to.
Half the world.
Top of that list, obviously being UK and USA. No surprise there. But other surprise is on the list are Kazakhstan.
Skiing country.
Yeah, Leo People's Democratic Republic.
Don't think that's such a big skiing country. But anyway.
Kenya.
Limited skiing.
And Egypt.
Well, Great Pyramid. I mean, you know.
Exactly.
Candide, I bet you he could ski that.
Oh, yeah, of course he would. Yeah, of course he would. So, really want to say a big well done to us both. I think we need to give ourselves a pat on the back. Thanks for listening to all of our people that have listened and all of those people that you could tell to listen to us rambling on about skiing because it's what we love. It really does make a difference if you can leave us a review. It's an amazing way of helping other people find our podcast when they type in what is the best skiing podcast or a skiing podcast and the whiteout pops up. So it does make a difference if you leave a review. Rob, what a great year. Thanks very much.
Great year.
And we will see you in La Clusaz in a couple of weeks' time.
See you in La Clusaz in a couple of weeks' time and in sunny Telford
next week. All the best, Rob. Have a good week. And listeners,
cheers, Dom.
Have a good skiing and be safe.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye. Have a good skiing.
Did you say that?
I think I did.
Have a good skiing. I mean, that technically could be correct, actually.
Have a good skiing.
Yeah, have a good skiing. Maybe. Why not?
Have a good skiing.
No, no. Talkie-walkie.
Pretty sure it's called a walkie-talkie, mate.